This is the podcast from JNS Pediatrics. Hello, this is Natalie Pinchem, and I'll be reading summaries of articles on congenital malformations and cerebellar mutism published by JNS Pediatrics on September 27, 2013. Cerebellar mutism, a review article by Marina Pitsika and Vasilios Tsitouras. This review focuses on current understanding of principal pathophysiological aspects and risk factors, clinical characteristics, and outcome considerations of the cerebellar mutism syndrome. The clarification of principal terminology that describes this syndrome results in more focused research and more effective identification of this entity. The overall incidence varies from 8 to 39%, and the most prominent risk factors are medulloblastoma tumor type, midline location of the tumor, and brainstem involvement. The dentatothalamocortical tracts and lesions that affect their integrity are considered significant pathophysiological issues, especially the tract that originates at the right cerebellar hemisphere. Moderate and severe forms are the most frequent types during the initial presentation, and the overall neurocognitive outcome is not as favorable as thought in earlier publications. Advanced neuroimaging techniques could contribute to identification of high-risk patients preoperatively and allow more effective surgical planning that should focus on maximal tumor resection with minimal risk to important neural structures. Properly designed multicenter trials are needed to provide stronger evidence regarding effective prevention and the best therapeutic approaches for such patients, with a combination of pharmacological agents and multidisciplinary speech and behavior augmentation. Occipitocondylar hyperplasia and syringomyelia presenting with facial pain. A case report by James Sam Walkden and colleagues. The authors present an extremely rare case of occipitocondylar hyperplasia in a 10-year-old girl who presented to their institution with facial pain. This syndrome has only been described three times previously in the published literature and has always previously been associated with severe myelopathy. In this case, there was no evidence of myelopathy, but there was significant facial pain and discomfort extending to the chest wall. The very unusual imaging findings that were encountered, including gross medullary compression and cervicothoracic syrinx, are shown in detail. The authors also describe the important anatomical considerations that arise during operative management of this condition, and the surgical technique used in this case. Long-term MRI and radiographic follow-up is shown over 5 years postoperatively, demonstrating complete resolution of the previous syrinx with no evidence of spinal instability. The pathological theories for facial pain secondary to cervicomedullary conditions are discussed, as well as the other surgical options in this particular condition. Finally, the authors contrast the surgical management of occipitocondylar hyperplasia with the equally rare condition of condylus occipitalis to raise awareness of these rare but challenging craniocervical abnormalities. Thank you for listening. The Journal of Neurosurgery mobile app is now available in iTunes and the Google Play Store. Just search for JNSPG to download the app for your mobile device today. For more information on how to submit your research to the Journal of Neurosurgery, please visit thejns.org and click on Info for Authors.